Great day, eh?
Yeah.
Eh? Aye. You know, over the years ministering, I've been asked to pray for some pretty weird and wild things. And this morning, I just really believe the Lord's laid on my heart to speak about a few things that it does you no good to pray about, or does you no good to be asking others to pray for. Because, you know, there are responsibilities we've been given in the kingdom of God. And if you've got a responsibility God's given you, we all do. We'll mention a few of those here in a minute. And it doesn't do you any good to pray that somebody else will do it, or that somebody else will accomplish it, or that God will accomplish it. There's things God cannot do for you. Why? He's given you the responsibility. He's given you the word, the direction to do it. For instance, let's look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 for a minute. He's given us the responsibility to work out our own salvation. Now, what does that really mean, to work out our own salvation? I thought salvation came as a free gift of God, and it's not works. It is. But there are things in our life that will come against us and stand between us and the presence of God, are there not? Huh? There's things that come against you. There's things that will stop you. There's mindsets. There's attitudes of our mind that will stand against you as you try to walk with God and to deal with God. And God says, I want you to fight through, and I want you to deal with fighting out, working out your own salvation. Look at verse 12. Therefore, my beloved, as you have already obeyed, have always obeyed, not as much in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Why? He goes on to explain in verse 13, why? For it's God who dwells in you to cause you to want to do His will, and then gives you the power and the capacity to carry it out. But if you don't activate that God that's in you, if you don't begin to make that connection between you and that God that's in you, and that free gift that He's already given you, and if you just kind of lay down and roll over and play dead or wimp out when something comes against you, no prayer anybody's going to offer you is going to help you. Oh God, help me be obedient. Anybody ever prayed that?
Yeah.
That's a silly prayer. Make me be obedient. Wish that worked. Oh. Look at James 4:7. He says, submit to God. Submit to God. See, that's what we're saying. Oh, help me be obedient. Make me be obedient. It's all this, do it for me, do it for me. No, he says, you submit to God. You submit to God. You resist the enemy. The enemy will flee like a scared little bunny. But it's our responsibility to submit to God, is it not? Hello? It's our responsibility to submit to God, is it not?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen or oh me, it's true anyway. Oh, God's got it all figured out. How about this prayer about asking people or asking others to pray for you, or asking God, now I've got to be careful here, because partly how we do this, taking captive the thoughts of our mind, the battle of the mind. There's a lot of different avenues from the battle of the mind can take. A lot of the times the battle of the mind is just merely making your mind be quiet. God can't make your mind be quiet. God, make my mind be still. He can't do that. Why? It's your mind. We have control over our own mind. If we don't make our mind be still, we'll never hear from God. Busy minds rarely, if ever, hear from God. Sometimes I've had people come to me and say, well, you know, the only time I really hear from God is just about the time I go to sleep. Or sometimes I'll hear from God when I'm trying to sleep early in the morning and I wake up. Why is that? Well, the reason that is because it's the only time of the day your mind is quiet. Your mind's not engaged in doing something, see. You and I have the responsibility that God has given us to make those minds be still. Take captive every thought. And say, oh God, would you make my mind be quiet? Would you quit these, stop these thoughts, stop these thoughts. He can't. He's not originating them. Thoughts come from your subconscious mind. Everything that drives you comes from your subconscious mind, to be quite honest. Your subconscious mind is constantly working to provide your cognitive mind information that it thinks it needs to survive. So these thoughts constantly keep roaring if you let them. Pretty soon your mind has total control over your life, and that's what's happened to most of us. Everybody has that problem one time or another. We all have to learn to tell your mind to sound hush. We have to train our mind to be the servant God gave it to us to be. It's not going to naturally do it. The mind is enmity with God. Romans chapter 8, verse 7 says the mind, the carnal mind of man, is enmity with God. It does not obey God's laws, nor can it obey God's laws. It doesn't understand spiritual ways. So it's constantly going to fight against anything that resembles a spiritual attitude or activity. Walking with God's a spiritual deal, isn't it?
Yeah.
Two of you believe that. Walking with God's a spiritual activity, is it not?
Yeah.
It manifests in the flesh, of course, but it starts in the spirit realm. And your mind's not going to understand that. Your mind's going to constantly try to figure things out, figure God out. It's just really sad when people are hurting and I'm trying to help them, and I say, okay, let's sit down, let's find out where this is coming from. And their immediate response is, I know where this is coming from. I know exactly where it's coming from. Then my next response should be to fix it. Well, I can't fix it. I know. So how do you know what you think you know is what you really know? Huh? Huh? Chew on that one a little bit. That's a breakfast bar for you. How do you know that what you think you know is really what it's all about? You may know something about your past, but do you know the origin of all the issues of your life?
No.
I would almost bet you don't. Very few people do. So you may know one incident. You may know maybe a series of incidents. You may know something that looks like maybe it could have been. But are you sure? Are you willing to bet your sanity on it? Are you willing to bet your spiritual life on it? Are you willing to bet yourself on it? See, if you are, then you're too proud to walk with God. To be honest, you'll never turn to Him for help. So many Christians think they have the power of God on their side, and they never turn to Him for help, and they never talk to Him about anything. They don't have God on their side. They're out there winging it all by themselves, walking on the reputation of something or other. You have to call on God to get His attention and to help you. It's not that He's not paying any attention to you. He knows everything about you. If you're born again, He lives in you. But if you don't call on God, you're not expressing your desire to work with God. God cannot work just because you have a need. God's moved by your faith. Your faith is expressed through your mouth. If you don't express, God, I need some help right now, Lord, I need You. If you don't express that, you have nothing from heaven coming your way. So it doesn't do any good to pray for somebody or ask God to help you or to ask God to fight through these spiritual things and battles that you're going on, you know, work out your own salvation. Those kinds of things are just things that get in your way, things that just kind of trip you up sometimes. Sometimes, name something that would help me here. Working through your own salvation with fear and trembling. What is that? Anything that stands between you. How about this? Anything that stands between you and the power of God to heal your physical body. You've got to work through that. You've got to call on God. You've got to make some assessments. You've got to say, God, I need Your wisdom. I need some help. See, you can ask God for wisdom, and that's where most people fail. They never ask God for wisdom, and that's in what is that in? Asking God for wisdom. Oh, James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, all he need to do is ask God. God will give. But if we don't ask, we don't get. So these things that are making you not be all you could be and holding you back and confusion. See, if you've got some confusion going on, you can ask God to help you. Lord, I'm confused. God, would you give me the, help me here. Help me. I need some help. And he'll just say, don't be confused. That's usually what he says. Okay then, ask him a question. If you don't follow through and ask that question, see, we don't complete our relationship, we don't complete our communication with him many times. We ask people to pray, oh, I just can't control this mind. I've had people say, you got to pray that I control my mind. It's not going to do any good. I can pray, God, help him control his mind. He's given you the same equipment to control your mind he's given me with. He's given you the same understanding that he's given everybody else. Once you know you got to control your mind, now you got to just do it, see? You got to just do it. How about fighting the enemy, fighting spiritual battles? Oh, Pastor, the devil's walking all over the backside. Would you pray for me? What do you mean to pray? Well, pray he quit kicking my butt. He's kicking you? You kidding me? Submit to God, resist him, he flees? You kidding me? You're that scared of him? God's given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and overcome all the powers of the enemy. He says to you, nothing by any means shall harm you if you exercise your spiritual authority. Luke 10:19. I can't exercise spiritual authority in your life. Now, as the pastor of this place, I have some spiritual authority over you, over what takes place here, to a certain degree. But when it comes right down to the nitty-gritty where the rubber meets the road in your life, you've got to take the authority God's given you, and you've got to stand firm on the promises of God, and you've got to speak out of your mouth what you believe in God. You've got to exercise and put on that spiritual armament. You've got to take these steps of action. They're personal to you. You don't want to give over your spiritual authority to everybody and anybody. And so God's made that so that it really doesn't happen. You've got to just exercise and do what God's given you to do, you see. You see, Christianity is not an observance, a sport of observing. You know, I watched part of the baseball game last night, you know. Kansas City beating San Francisco. I watched that. I can't play that baseball game. I can't be there. I can enjoy watching it. Christianity is not like that. Christianity isn't something you sit back and watch. Too many people do, however. They sit back, they come, they sit in the pews on Sunday and they watch. They watch the pastor do his thing, they watch the ushers do their thing, they watch people do their thing. And they leave and say one of two things, wasn't that a good service, or boy, that sucked. No participation, no interaction, just come, sit, listen, and go. Christianity is not a participant, and they think they got God on their side. How can you have God on your side if you don't have a relationship with this living God? And that's what Christianity is. It's not religion. It's relationship. It's not religion. It's not a come, sit, listen, and go. It's not a observe and watch the man standing high on his pulpit and doing his thing. And wow, it's so... It's not what it is at all. It's a relationship, guys. So asking others to pray for us fighting the battles of our mind and taking captive these thoughts and all these things that go on between our ears, you've got to realize that's you. That's yours. That's on you. Can't help you by praying for you, really. Can't fight your battles for you. We can help control the spiritual atmosphere here to a degree, but we can't fight your battles for you. You've got to fight those battles. Most of the time, if the enemy's bothering you, kicking your butts because you opened the door, if you've opened the door, then you've gone against any spiritual authority anybody's exercising in your behalf. Again, it's personal choices, see? So don't open the door. How do you open the door to the enemy? Not behaving. Not submitting, not believing, not interacting with God, that opens the door. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. But if you don't exercise that understanding that that weapon can't prosper against you, then it's going to kick your fanny. You've got to make it work for you. It's a personal thing. It's an experiential thing. It's a relationship thing. Asking God to make you submissive and obedient. I actually had people pray. Ask me to pray. Please pray that I be more obedient. I don't know. I think that's kind of a funny thing. I have a lot of interaction, or not a lot, some interaction with people through the internet, through my website, and they'll email me quite a bit. I encourage that. And I encourage them to ask questions. I encourage them. And some of these questions are just really kind of funny. Please pray. I'm really having troubles. I just can't seem to obey. I just can't seem to stick with the program. Please pray that God would make me obey. He can't make you obey. He can tell you. He can offer you hope and help. He can say, here I am, call on me. If you call on me, I'll help you. But he can't make you do what he's called you to do. Make sense? Does it make sense? You can't pray that God would give you an anointing. I can't pray God would give you an anointing. Do you know why? The Bible says, 1 John 2:20, we've all have an anointing. Now, how do we increase that anointing? How do we increase that? By spending time with the one who does give the anointing. God. By spending time and being in obedience to Him. You want to increase the anointing on your life? Then be obedient to God and submit to Him and resist the enemy and watch the little rascal run over the hill. Exercise your authority. Fight the battles of your mind. Say, no, I'm not going there. God, I want you. The anointing will increase. That's how you increase the anointing. You increase the anointing by your activities with God. Amen?
Amen.
That's the truth. Pastor, would you pray that I could communicate with God better? I'm praying, but it won't do any good, probably. Why? He's given you a command to call on me, and I will answer you. It's just a command that you got to do. You want to increase your communication with God? Then communicate with Him more. Talk to Him. Call on Him. If you don't get a response, then stop and think a second. Okay, is my mind busy? My mind out here wandering around doing other things? Am I angry? Am I upset with God? All these things can stand between you and God. Not that God isn't trying. He'll talk. He'll speak. He wants very much to communicate with you. But if you've got an attitude, your attitude's blocking the heavens. It's blocking the door. Shut the door on God. So how do you get rid of a bad attitude? Repent, ask God to help you, and talk to Him. It all comes through talking to God. It's very simple. Well, yeah, but if I'm mad at God, and I got to talk to God to get rid of it, well, you got to realize, is it doing you any good to be mad at God? Is it doing you any good to be mad at yourself? Hello? Does it do you any good to be mad at yourself?
No.
Does it do you any good to be mad at God?
No.
Then why hold on to it? Why don't you say, God, I'm sorry. I don't even know why I'm angry at you. Or if you do know why you're angry at Him, be honest and tell Him, God, it seems like you failed me. Or I've called on you over and over and over, but you never talked to me. I don't know if you love me. Whatever your heart is, that's what you share with God. See? But for me to say, God, would you make them communicate better? Or would you help them? And I don't even know how to pray that. I don't think it does any good anyway. Because it's personal responsibility God's laid on us. I have the same responsibility to communicate with God that you do. I have the same responsibility to obey God as you do. I have the same responsibility to fight out my own spiritual battles as you do. I have the same responsibility to exercise my spiritual authority as you do. I have the same responsibility to work out my own salvation in the struggles I've been going through. I've been going through struggles lately, but nobody's known it. You know why? I've been working through it. I don't go around showing everybody how bad I got it. Because I really don't have it bad at all. It just seems like it sometimes. You know what that's like, don't you? You know what that's like? You don't have it bad, but it looks like it. It feels like you got it bad. Hello, am I talking to anybody in here?
Yeah.
I've been going through a funk lately. You haven't known it. I don't think. If you do, I apologize. I don't think you have. Because why? I have the responsibility to fight through that thing. Something's standing against me, and I don't want it to stand against me. Get out of my way. I'm going to Jesus, whether you like it or not. That's my attitude, see? No dumb feeling that's generated between my ears is going to hold me back from God, for Pete's sake.
Amen.
Why? I know better. There was a period of my life when I didn't know better. There was a period of my life when my thoughts run my life just like they're running your life. There was a period of my life when it didn't take anything but a change of wind to make me nosedive. I got tired of that childishness. I got tired of that inconsistent behavior. My goodness, who are you? Who are you? I didn't know who I was. I got tired of that. I finally began to recognize God had something called stability that He wants to offer every human being. But if you don't reach out and grab that stability, embrace that, hold on to that like a life rope, you won't be stable either. Yoo-hoo! Amen or me? Come on. You want to amen me? We'll get out of here quicker if you amen me. Coercing you. Can't ask God to make you communicate better. He just says, call on me. He says, all my children, know me. They all hear me. Jeremiah 10. My sheep hear my voice. My sheep know my voice. The enemies they run from. That's a statement of fact. That's not a, all my sheep will eventually know my voice. All my sheep might know my voice. All my sheep might learn to know my voice. All my sheep might know. It's a statement of fact. My sheep know my voice. The enemies they run from. So if you know God's voice, He says you know God's voice. You know God's voice. But if you're not detecting it, maybe you ought to sit down and ask yourself, all right, what's standing in my way? Or when is it that God's speaking to me that I'm thinking it's my brilliant idea? Ooh. See, maybe that's it. He's speaking to you. It's coming through. It's getting in there. But all of a sudden you think maybe it's your idea. You know, I'll fall and pray to that. All my sheep know my voice, He says. So if you're not knowing His voice, if you can't seem to get a hold of it, you're not detecting it, then are you His sheep? There's another question you need to ask. Are you His sheep? People ask me, how do I know if I'm saved? My response is, you're probably not. Well, you don't even know me. You're right. But you had to ask if you're saved. That tells me you're probably not. Because He says, my spirit bears witness with your spirit. That we know we're then children of God. See, there are responsibilities you and I have in the kingdom of God. And a prayer from others to make it easier, to make it happen automatically, is not going to work. It's not going to happen. Now, here are some things you can pray for. You can pray to seek provision. Anything you have no control over, physically or spiritually, you can pray to seek provision. Father, in Jesus' name, you promised to meet all my needs in accordance with your riches and glory through Christ Jesus. But then there's a condition just ahead of that. He said, you gave willingly and abundantly. Therefore, my God will meet all your needs in accordance. So, are you giving? Are you waiting to get before you give? See, the kingdom of God's backwards. If you're waiting to get before you give, you'll never give. You'll never get. If you begin to give out of nothing, how can I give out of nothing? Well, everybody's got something. Don't we? Everybody's got something.
Yeah.
Don't tell me Teen Challenge students don't have money. Don't tell me Teen Challenge students don't have provision. They got the same God I got. You just got to learn to tap into it. You got to learn to choose wisely what you do with what you got. If you only got a buck in your pocket and you give it to God willingly, God, I wish I had more, but this is it. I got, you know my bank account. Here it is. Nothing. I give it to you, God. I want you to have it. Expand the kingdom, Lord. Give it all. You do that, it's worth more than somebody gives $10,000 begrudgingly. And God smiles on that, anoints that, and God will touch your life, God will provide. Why? You got the right heart. You're obedient. See, it's all in obedience. It's all in trust. It's all in being that person who trusts God with everything. You can pray for healing. But again, there's a condition that goes with healing. Now, God, there's conditions on everything, isn't there? And my God will, he said, let's see, 1 Peter 2:24. Let's look at it. I don't want to butcher it too bad. 1 Peter 2:24. We all claim this one. And my God, who himself bore our sins in his own body on a tree that we have died to righteousness and might live for sin. By his stripes I've been healed. I hear people all that. I just believe God, by your stripes I've been healed in Jesus' name. All right, but how about the condition that just preceded that? You know what the condition is that just preceded that? I died to sin. I live for righteousness. By your stripes, I've been healed. If I haven't died to sin, if I'm not living to righteousness, then how can I claim the healing power of God? You can't. Well, you can claim it, but it won't happen. There's conditions, but you're responsible for those conditions. You can still pray that God would heal you. Because he promised, he said. They'll lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Prayer of faith, prayer offered in faith will heal, change, do mighty things. But you see, for us personally, for me to get a healing, I've got to be obedient. I'm going to live for righteousness. I'm not going to chance it. Lord, here I am, standing in the need of prayer, standing in the need of healing. And I've died to sin, Lord. I've done exactly what 1 Peter 2:24. I've died to sin. I live for righteousness. By your stripes, I'm healed. Yes, sir?
Okay, so if that condition is true, then how do you pray for a non-believer in the game?
I say you can pray. The Bible says, promises us that we can lay hands on the sick and the sick will be cut.
So that's only in regards to praying for yourself?
Well, it regards your lifestyle. Our lifestyle as Christians. See, we have a responsibility to God as Christians to live like a Christian, to live like God, to represent Christ. Our call on our life is to represent Christ to the world. Right? To represent Christ. So if we're claiming 1 Peter 2:24 as our promise for healing, then we've got to live up to that condition. We've got to have died to sin, live for righteousness. But the Bible does say that they bring the sick, but here's the thing, if they lay hands on the sick will recover. Who's the ones that pray and who's the ones that are sick? It talks about call the elders of the church. Pray for them. And the prayer offered in faith will heal and forgive a man's sin. Are they believers or non-believers? It doesn't say. It says if a man's sick and they call the elders of the church and they bring him to you or you go to him, he'll heal you. Why? Different circumstance, because it's not a child of God necessarily claiming that healing power of God for himself. But he's obeying God in the possibility of laying hands on the sick person. They shall lay hands on the sick and the sick will recover. Understand? You with me?
Yeah.
I had a guy call me one night. It was in the middle of a snowstorm years ago. Elderly couple lived out in the country a few miles away from town. And his wife called me and said, I forget her husband's name, doesn't matter. My husband's sick. I don't think he's going to live. He can't breathe. Something's wrong. I said, where is he? I figured if he's outside shoveling snow, maybe that'd be a part of the problem. And he said, no, he's in bed. I've got him covered up. He can't get warm. I said, okay, well, we'll... She said, would you come? Can you come? Can you send some men? I just need some help here. I said, yeah, we'll come. I called two guys from the church that I trusted that work alongside of me. And they were all coming from different directions, and so we all met at this one guy's house, and snowing like a booger. One of those days. On a country road, you couldn't tell the ditch from the road. It was kind of exciting. And went into this house, and immediately we knew something was wrong in this house. It was cold. She said, I keep trying to keep this fire burning, but it won't burn. Well, one of the guys said, well, it's probably got a chimney. It's smoking. That's what it's doing. It's backing and it's smoking up. One guy got up on the roof and pulled the chimney apart, and sure enough, bird's nest was in there. I mean, they were gassing themselves. And the old boy was pretty sick, though. He was laying there pretty sick. And we helped him get a fire started. And we laid hands on him. They called the elders of the church. We laid hands on him. We anointed him with oil. We prayed a prayer of faith. Father, in Jesus' name, we ask for your healing touch, Father. Clear the air in this house. God, carbon monoxide had to be way up there. Father, we're praying for your divine protection. They called us to come. Here we are, Lord. We claim healing for the old man. He didn't change. He didn't jump out of bed and shout. He probably, I can't even remember, maybe he didn't even know we were there. And we saw that the fire was burning well and the warmth started to increase in that little old house out in the country. Made sure she had food and provisions. Everything else seemed to be okay. She hugged on us and thanked us. We all went our separate directions. The next morning, I happened to call her. How's your hubby doing? Oh, he's fine. I said, good. How's he doing? Oh, he's fine. I said, well, what's he doing? Has he been up to eat breakfast yet? Oh, heavens yes. He's out scooping snow. What? I said, you shouldn't be doing that. I said, I think one of the guys who was there last night's going to come. If you just give him a chance, he'll scoop your driveway. He'll scoop that. You're not going anywhere anyway. Get him back in the house. So she stuck her head out. Pastor wants to talk to you. So he came in. I had to hear his voice for myself to find out, but he was well. He said, oh, Pastor, I had the best night's sleep. I just woke up fresh. Little did he know, had we not come, they'd both probably been dead the next morning from carbon monoxide poisoning. Or he'd have died from pneumonia or whatever it was he was battling. His lungs rattled and sounded terrible. But the prayer offered in faith by obedient people that they called the church elders. We came out of faith. You can pray for other people's healing. But when you go to claim God's healing for you as a Christian, as a man of God, there's a condition. As Christians, we have conditions. We have obedience to. That's what Christianity is, guys. Being obedient to God, being connected to God. We can't expect God's blessing if we aren't willing to connect to Him and obey Him. Okay? What would have happened to our prayer for that old man had the three of us not been in obedience to God? I don't know. I don't even want to go there. I don't know. Because we were, we did, and he's well.
Amen.
Just what the Bible says. Okay? Another thing you can pray for is protection. Pray for the protection. I pray there for protection for my family all the time. Father, in Jesus' name, I declare by the power that you've invested in me, Lord, by the authority you've given me to trample on snakes and scorpions, you've given me the ability to be the spiritual leader of my family. Father, I bind the powers of any darkness that might crouch in on my family. No evil formed against us shall prosper. No weapon can prosper against us. Why? We're children of God. That's part of the inheritance of servants of God.
Amen.
We can stand in authority over our family if we know what scriptures are. We're talking about, if we trust what he says, and I do. You are spiritual. I tell you, you guys just got family. You've got more authority. You've got as much authority over your family right here as you do if you're right there home. You can bind the powers of darkness, and you can loose the power of God on their life just as much right now. You got more authority. You got as much ability to affect your little girl from right here as you did if you was home. You bind that darkness that keeps trying to hurt her, you say, no, you can't have her in Jesus' name. I loose the power of God on her. I loose peace and life and on her in Jesus' name. Pray for that. Pray. Use your authority. Pray for that protection. Sometimes I'll go, like this last couple of weeks, I've been going through this funk, and I don't know if it's been an attack or not, but if I can't snap out of it on my own pretty quick, I usually assume it's an attack. So I begin to pray that authority. I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I put on the armor of God this morning. I thank you for the helmet of salvation. I thank you for the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth. I thank you, Lord, my feet are shod with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. I thank you for it. Father, that I operate with a sword, the spirit sword, which is the word of God. I thank you I can stand behind the shield of faith. No fiery darts can get to me. God, I thank you for this. And I bind the powers of darkness that come against me. I plead the blood of Jesus over my life, over this place, God, the place you give me authority and to give me responsibility. No weapon formed against us can prosper in Jesus' name. No evil shall befall you. 1,000 may fall at your right hand, 10,000 at your left hand, but it shall not come near you.
Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
You got to pray that way. You got to pray that way. You got to pray that way. But it's your responsibility. You have a question or are you trying to get better reception?
I have a question.
Okay.
When it comes to the feeling basis of knowing you're saved, like Satan likes to attack our emotions, so wouldn't it be more of Satan trying to get us to doubt Jesus's?
Satan's already done his work. Satan's not messing with us. Satan has already done his work. He set up a lying system, and the lying system has caused us to believe lies. We interpret things incorrectly. We have things in our temperament that can even make us believe lies. There are reasons that we have to continue to call on God, okay?
So Satan doesn't attack us anymore?
There's little imps around us. Satan's just, he's off working with the big guys. He's messing with the world leaders, okay? Messing with nations. But there are imps. There are spiritual imps that have a tendency that can crouch in. But listen, if we're submitting to God, resisting them, they flee.
Yeah.
That's the beautiful part. They're not going to contest you. If you're submitting to God, talking to God, how much more submission to God can there be than talking to Him? Nothing. Right? Hello?
Hello?
Anybody here? Hello?
I understand that, but if we say, hey, I don't feel saved,
yeah.
That doesn't mean we're not saved. It means our feelings don't control our destiny.
Right. No, you're right. So if you don't feel saved, ask God. Lord, why don't I feel saved? He'll show you. Again, submitting to God, resisting the enemy. Okay? If we begin to give the enemy all the power of saying, well, this is why I'm doing this, then that's giving him power he doesn't have.
Right.
And that really takes responsibility out of our hands and puts, well, God, it's him. It's him. No, it's not him. It's us. It's in us. It's in our head. It's what we believe. It's the things that the world, the lying system that he has set up has caused us to believe that's causing our problems. Once you're born again, it's a matter of living by truth or lie. Right?
Right.
And the enemy can't even touch you. It says in 1 John 5:18, he can't touch you. If you pay attention to God, he can't touch you. So how can he can't be too big a foe, really. I'm not trying to say he doesn't exist. I'm just saying I wouldn't be too shook up. He was defeated 2,000 years ago.
Amen.
Don't even have the keys to his own home.
Amen.
Can't even go home when he wants to. You think it's hard because you can't lay down when you have a headache? He can't either. Poor guy. He can't. Oh, anyway. You can pray for spiritual growth. Look with me. Let's go back to Philippians because it's close. Or Ephesians. Or Galatians. Or Colossians.
Okay.
How about I got Ephesians running right here. Here's a prayer that God has given us to pray for spiritual growth. Ephesians 1, chapter 1, verse 17. And the God of that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, or in the experience by experience of Him. That the eyes of our understanding may be enlightened, that we may already know what is the hope of His calling, so we may understand the riches of His glory and His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards those who believe. That's a good prayer. That's a good prayer. Go to the left. Go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14. These are prayers to increase and to help your spiritual growth. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth, this is verse 14 through 20, chapter 3, that He would grant you according, or you can say that He would grant me according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might through His Holy Spirit in my inner man, that Christ may dwell in me, or in my heart, through faith, that I, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to understand with all the other saints what is width, the length, the depth, the height of this love of Christ, and so forth and so on. See, that's a prayer for you. That's a prayer we can pray. Okay? You pray that out loud. You pray these for you, and you pray these for your loved ones. I guarantee you, you'll change. You'll change. You'll begin to see things in Scripture you didn't even know was there. Go on over here to Ephesians. I got you started. Let's look at Philippians chapter 4, verse 1. And I pray that my love may still abound yet more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, that I may be able to approve the things that are excellent, that I may be able to be sincere without offense till the day of Christ Jesus, that I may be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Amen. Philippians chapter 1, verse 9, 10, and 11. See, these are spiritual prayers. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. I do not cease to pray and to ask that I may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that I may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and in increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. See, pray these things for yourself. You can pray for spiritual growth. God's given us prayers to help us pray for spiritual growth. We can pray for wisdom. James chapter 1, verse 5. Any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives generously. You can ask for wisdom. You can ask me to help you pray for wisdom. Although I don't know what my prayer for you will do any more than your prayer for you. You know what I mean? Here's another thing. Sometimes we think we've got to have 30 or 40 people praying before anything happens. No, the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He didn't say a prayer for 30 or 40 righteous men availeth much. He says the prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Right?
Yes, amen.
See, what? Safety in numbers? When it comes to you and God are a majority if you're working with Him and walking with Him. Right? You can pray for direction. God, I don't know which way to go here. You can ask God to help you make your decisions to know when you go left or right. He's promised. He said you'll hear a voice behind you. Go left, go right. That's how close He wants to be to us. You can pray for that. God, I don't know what to do here. What would you have me do? And then you've got some promises of God that you need to continue to remember, that you always go where the peace is. Where there's no peace, there is no God. If the peace left, then you've turned and went the wrong way. God didn't leave you, left Him. I've had many times in my walk with God when all of a sudden I found myself kind of out here in La La Land where I really didn't feel too peaceful. I'm like, what happened, God? And I used to ask, God, where'd you go? And He always would tell me, I'm right where you left me. Let's back up here a little bit. Okay, I was right here. So what's cooking? And He'll tell you. You can pray for direction. You can pray for connection. God, would you open doors to me so I can have some connections out here? Would you give me favor in the eyes of others, Father? Would you work to me? Would you speak through me, Lord, so that others might find favor with me? You can ask for connection. There are many things you can ask for. Many things we do ask for really aren't mine, seriously. Say amen or oh me.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, I thank You, Jesus. I thank You, Lord, that You're an equal opportunity God. Everything You've done for me or anyone else, You'll do for anyone who applies faith and asks. Father, I'm just asking You, Lord, to open our eyes and help us. Help us recognize truth when we hear it. Help us step in there and grab hold of it. Help us be serious about our walk with You, Lord, about our connection with You. You've already promised victory. We're victorious as long as we're in You. So, Lord, when we stray out of You, we know the peace will drop off, but God, help us be more sensitive. Help us grow in the spiritual realm so we can be more sensitive. So we can know quicker when we're maybe getting to the edge and not fully in the center of Your perfect will. Lord, help us. Without You, we can do nothing, but I know with You, great things can happen through us. So I ask You in Jesus' name to help us to bless us with your presence and to power us to walk with you. In Jesus' name, amen.